Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 70th Berlinale, and in particular the European film market. I'm in company of the director of the EFM, Matthijs Voeterneau. So let's start from the end. How did it go? What are the numbers of this year's EFM?
I think it was a good addition because, first of all, we had a record of visitors this year. Again, we had over 11,000 visitors, which for EFM never happened before. That was good for us because, of course, that meant there were many people also that, you know, in the past years were maybe checking if they would come to EFM. They've actually come, so it was good for us. I must say it was a bit unexpected as well because we expected less visitors because of fear because of the virus, Chinese not coming because they cancelled as well. So for us, it was actually a bit of a surprise to see that EFM is so well visited this year, which, of course, is a good sign. Business-wise, I think the market started a little bit slow, but then catch up pretty well over the weekend. So also business-wise, we had a feeling that people left Berlin relatively happy. But interestingly enough, we also heard from many people that have, you know, strong presence in the market that they are keep on struggling or even struggled a bit more than in the past years when it came to arthouse films and arthouse titles. That, of course, naturally is the strong part and belongs to the profile of EFM. But it's and you see that in Berlin as well, the kind of film that's not having its best time. And of course, that's also a thing that we were looking to the future to see how that's going to develop, because that would, of course, be for VFM also shift if other kinds of films get a stronger space in the EFM lineup.
While looking at the program, I felt that more than ever the EFM is also like trying to approach and depict all the most important, I want to say problems, but themes that we're struggling with today, from sustainability, you know, environment, to gender equality. So is that correct? Is there an idea to at least tackle all these themes through working?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not a coincidence. I think, you know, like EFM is the first large market that takes place in Europe and in the year. And for many years, EFM has sort of presented itself as, we are the first market, it all starts here, and things like that. That's also still the slogan, I would say, of EFM. But in the meantime, I think EFM has also developed an interesting tradition, I wouldn't say yet after 6 years, but at least it has become a bit of a habit to address the elephants in the room that are in the industry. And I think when it comes to sustainability, the role of the industry as well, which we can't close our eyes to. And I think we noticed as well that after we published the Sustainability Manifesto a couple of weeks ago, which of course is not a plan that says that during EFM everything was already sustainable. There were many, many things that need to be improved in the next years. But we decided to say, let's name it, let's take a responsibility, let's make people not aware, because I'm sure many people are aware, and the feedback that we got from people was also that they know exactly what we are talking about and willing to think along. But I think by addressing the elephants in the room, the market also positions itself a bit in a place as it's not only about selling, but it's also about how do we keep our industry healthy, how do we keep it sustainable, and how do we also make sure that people have a good working environment, both in the market and in the industry. And these are topics that, for me, also belong to EFM and to a market in general.
And speaking, as I said, about, for example, gender equality, I saw that there was this women collective, like 50-50. I didn't know about them, but
They were pretty active in the past couple of years. It's a collective 50-50 by 2020, they're called. 2020 is not so present anymore because we are in 2020. And of course, the aim of 50-50 has not been reached, or at least not everywhere. So they're still and will continue to do so, to work on pushing organizations, confronting associations, asking funds to change regulations and to not close their eyes and say like, well, you know, at some point we'll have a 50-50 situation. And they're very active in that. And they have done their events in the past years alongside to the market, and they've done that this year again. supported also by the Swedish Film Institute, that are very very strong in that sense, in that movement.
I was looking at the panel, you know, and something hit me like the nobody knows anything one, because I was, which is on how to prepare for the streaming area. So I was wondering, aren't we already in the streaming area? And
yeah. I think we're completely in the streaming area. I think the question, like, if in which way will the streaming platforms impact the market? Are the streaming platforms present at the market? That's a question of 5 years ago. And I think the paradigm shift of the streaming platform playing a role in the industry is easy to answer. Yes, they are. They are very strong. They define, I think, the way people buy content, the people produce content, people are looking for investing or investment for content. But also, of course, the way people watch content has completely shifted and changed. It's not a question if that's going to have an impact on the industry. What changed, though, is that the industry reacts way more strong on it. It's not like, yeah, let's see if it's a trend or if they're going to be away or if they still be around in 2 or 3 years. We've seen that compared to last year, where Netflix and Amazon were very strong, present in the market with very, very big delegations of buyers. In the meantime, also Apple TV+, Disney+, HBO Max, and even Peacock, which is the new platform of NBC Universal, they are present in the market. They're buying and looking for content. So that's, you know, that's a tripling amount of streaming platforms being present here in 1 year. That, of course, leads to producers being affected, co-production models being affected. And, of course, that is at the core of the way we create content in Europe. So what we saw is that there was a strong change in the reaction of funds and producers that were saying, listen, what is happening here might be good in the short term because we, you know, have nice money that we get for shows. But in the long run, it's actually disrupting our system so much that we should be very careful that it doesn't disappear. And because it took a long, long time to build it up over the past, let's say, decades, it should not be something that we should just like sweep away or have swept away by new streaming platforms coming in and disrupting that too much. So the reaction of wanting to protect it or making sure that producers don't lose too much of their rights by just selling them to Netflix or whatever streaming platform, that is a reaction that is new compared to last year, where everybody is a bit way more waiting and trying to solve problems in their own country or region. And I think there's a more pan-European reaction in the meantime, and EFM has also helped in organizing that, because I think that's also one of the roles of a market to help to facilitate those kind of talks.
Since you have a production background, so you know producers, do you think that in regarding to this like streaming area, do you think that they're becoming the silver lining of this is that they're becoming more braver? They're becoming braver in a sense. I mean, I was doing an interview today for The Eddie, this Netflix series directed and created by Damien Chazelle, the La La Land director. Yeah. And the series is totally different from the series we're used to, like slow paced and something that I've been told they weren't interested in producing before. And then they did it. So is the audience changing and are the producers changing in terms that they think they have more shots?
I think it's an interesting question, because I think what we've seen is that with the arrival of streaming platforms, the kind of content, the way characters are being presented, the way like twists are happening are, I would say, sometimes way more exciting. And also the fact that they find audiences means that I don't think audiences change, but audiences react on where quality is. And if quality is good, and if it's what they'd like to see, even though, of course, people have different tastes, but high quality find its way to audiences normally. So if high quality means that people take more risks, stories become a bit more edgy. And not to forget, stories also reflect a higher diversity, which is the case with streaming platforms. They work more with people that we don't see so much on the cinema screens, whether it's people of color, whether it's people of other minorities, whether it's indigenous storylines. That's an interesting point, because streaming platforms have that in their stories, have that in their productions, whether it's film or series. And I think in that sense, producers, but also in that sense, I think most of the creatives that have worked for a long time in a more traditional way for theater films and waiting for the film to be released in the cinema, they're forced to get out of their comfort zone, and they're forced to, I think, also acknowledge the fact that audiences have become more aware and more demanding. It's an interesting development, I think, over the past years that's also visible in a market like EFM, that different audiences start demanding that they see themselves on a screen. They're not content anymore with just seeing wealthy, white, left or right wing people living in beautiful houses that have some problems, and that's the kind of story they do, which, if we face it, has been the majority of the stories that we all grew up with.
And now let's talk about the country in focus this year. Why did you choose Chile, and can you tell us more about the next country in focus?
Yes, only because it's you. Chile was actually, since a couple of years, interested in becoming country-focused in EFM. First of all, because in the past 10 years, there's a lot happened in Chilean cinema. Market-wise, because they have a very good promotion body within Chile, Cinema Chile, that has done a great job, I think, when it comes to highlighting what filmmakers, running from screenwriters, directors, but also producers have done. And that has also led to more visibility of Chilean filmmakers. And coincidentally, it also has led to more recognition of Chilean filmmakers. If you think about Latin American cinema these days, it's, if you mention 10 films, mostly 5 of them have been made by Chilean filmmakers or series creatives. Documentary-wise, Chile is a very strong country for a long, long, long time. Many of the films have been awarded also in Berlin. 2 years ago, Chile won a Best Foreign Film Oscar at the Academy Awards, Una Mujer Fantástica. And that for Chile was like the moment to say, okay, this is the moment to celebrate Chilean cinema. It was 10 years of Chilean cinema. And the EFM Chile in Focus program was the closure of the 10 years of Chilean cinema program. So we had a great collaboration with them, highlighted producers, highlighted upcoming new Chilean series that we can expect in the next months to be released, and also a lot of documentary filmmakers from Chile. So for us, it was a very good week. It was the fourth time that we did a Country in Focus at EFM. So next year, it's already 5 years. And we'll move back to a European country, which for us became important to have every second year collaboration with a European country. Norway was the first country last year that we started with, so we were quite keen on moving our eyes to Southern Europe, and we're happy to announce that we'll actually have an Italian year next year at the European film market. So that's going to be quite exciting.
And we've been talking to Matthias Butter-Noll, director of the EFM European Film Market at the Berlinale 2020, the 70th edition. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.